So now we turn to our readings, two ancient texts that tell the story of Hanukkah. The first reading comes to us from the second book of Maccabees. About 2,200 years ago or so, the land of Judea had been ruled for centuries by the successors of Alexander the Great. For generations, life had been pretty peaceful for the Jewish people. The Greek rulers respected Jewish culture. They had pretty much a live and let live attitude toward the Jewish population. But then came a truly awful king, Antiochus IV. He took the throne in 175 BCE, and immediately he began to persecute the Jewish people. He took over the temple in Jerusalem, the very heart of the Jewish religious world. He plundered the temple. He declared that traditional Jewish practices were now illegal, and he killed anyone who still tried to follow them. Now, some of the Jewish people were quite cosmopolitan. They were comfortable within the majority Greek culture. Others were traditionalists who did not want to acculturate at all. And so a group of conservative Jewish revolutionaries, the Maccabees, began a guerrilla war. After several years of fighting, they took back Jerusalem and the temple. And this passage from the second book of Maccabees tells what happened when they re-entered the desecrated temple. Now, Maccabeus and his followers, the Lord leading them on, recovered the temple and the city. They purified the sanctuary and made another altar of sacrifice. Then, striking fire out of flint, they offered sacrifices after a lapse of 2 years. And they offered incense and lighted lamps. They celebrated for 8 days with rejoicing. They decreed by public edict ratified by vote that the whole nation of the Jews should observe these days every year.
The next reading comes from the Babylonian Talmud, a collection of writings by Jewish religious scholars compiled in the 3rd to 5th centuries. This is where we find the story of the lamp that burned for 8 days. When the Greeks entered the temple, they polluted all the oils in the temple. And when the Hasmonean dynasty overcame and defeated them, they checked and they found but one cruse of oil that was set in place with the seal of the high priest. But there wasn't it only enough to light a single day. A miracle was done with it, and they lit from it for 8 days. The following year, the sages fixed those days, making them holidays for praise and thanksgiving.
The Jewish and Christian scriptures are full of miracle stories. Things that couldn't possibly happen in real life. People getting turned into pillars of salt, for example. Or getting swallowed by a whale and coughed up again, alive and well. Or turning a few loaves and fishes into a meal for thousands. Plagues of frogs and lice and fleas appear on cue. The sea parts for people in need. The lamp with oil enough for only one day burns for 8. Our Unitarian ancestors were notoriously skeptical of miracles. Thomas Jefferson, for example. Do you know about Jefferson and the miracles? I'm going to remind you. Jefferson really liked the moral teachings of Jesus. But he did not much care for the miracle stories of Jesus healing and casting out demons and that sort of thing. He thought all those miracles were just nonsense. So Jefferson decided the thing to do was to produce his own edited, redacted version of the Gospels, the stories about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So one day he opened up his Bible and he turned to the Gospels and he literally took a razor. He took a razor and he started cutting up the pages into passages he liked and passages he didn't like. He pitched the miracle stories into the trash. The parts he considered to be morally edifying, he pasted together into a very much shorter version, which he called The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth, aka the Jefferson Bible. No miracles need apply. Today, many of us are probably still pretty skeptical about miracle stories. For example, I personally do not believe that people can be turned into a pillar of salt on the spot. That's from Genesis. If I am ever swallowed by a whale, it could happen. I do not expect, however, to come out alive and well after hanging out in the whale's stomach for days like Jonah did. Nor do I believe that a small amount of oil can literally last 8 times as long as any equivalent amount of oil ever has before. In our worship services here, I can tell you every now and again, we forget to top up the oil in the chalice. And I can tell you, if you do not refill it, it burns out reliably with great consistency. But I also don't believe that asking, did a miracle really literally happen, is the right question. It was only about 200 years ago, you know, that people began to ask whether the miracle stories were literally true, like happened in this world. Before that, everybody understood the miracle stories were metaphors, symbols, poetic expressions, not to be taken literally. Thomas Jefferson was very much of his generation in his disdain for miracles. In our own time, we have gained enough perspective, or perhaps regained, to begin to ask again of these miracle stories, what do they mean? The word miracle itself comes from a Latin word that means an object of wonder. An object of wonder. What if we could hold a miracle story in our hands, as it were? Imagine holding the story in our hands and look at it and wonder, what is this? What does it mean? What does it have to offer us? Last week, we talked about how we can work creatively with religious language from traditions other than our own by imagining ourselves into the experiences and the feelings behind the words. And today, I want to share with you a similar practice that we can use with ancient stories, like the Hanukkah stories, or really any story. I learned this practice years ago from a mentor of mine. He was leading a workshop, and in this workshop, he shared with us one of the miracle stories of the Bible. And I can hear him saying, what would it be like, what would this story mean if it were a dream? Imagine this story were a dream that you had, perhaps even last night. A dream full of images and events that we had to interpret. What might that story mean if it were a dream? So does anybody like to work with your dreams? Anybody? Yeah? So there's a technique of dream work that I think will help us out here. The technique is you begin by writing down the dream, or perhaps just speaking it out loud to sort of get the events clear in your mind. And then after you write it down or speak it out loud, you take a step back and you ask yourself, is there some object in this dream, like a physical thing, that I feel particularly drawn to? There's some kind of energy there that feels compelling to me. And if there is, you can think of this object, you can imagine it in your mind, and then you can actually have a conversation with it in your imagination. You would be astonished at the number of inanimate objects that will talk back to you if you give them half a chance. So what if We were to contemplate the story of Hanukkah as if it were a dream. As I practiced this week, I found myself particularly drawn to the oil. That one small vessel of oil that had remained intact and whole when everything around it was shattered and destroyed. I imagine the oil in the lamp shimmering, inviting the spark to touch the wick and light it aflame. The oil has something to say to us if we will listen. And so I imagine asking the oil, "Oil, how did you last so long?" And the oil says, "Well, I didn't really. I was enough to burn for a day, and that's what I did. You might expect me to say, yes, I miraculously burned for 8 days and nights, but I didn't, and I'm okay with that." So I asked the oil, "Well, then, how do you feel about the story of the 8 days? And the oil says, "You know, I'm just oil. I'm just myself. I don't need to be miraculous. I do my little job, and it's enough. People get all excited about the drama of the story. I just do my job." And I ask one more question. "Dear oil, what would you like these people to know, the people who are right here?" And the oil says, "Your chalice light and I were cousins. We just do our job. You bring to us what your spirit needs, and you use us as a mirror. We're happy to do it, but it's really your gifts that you see in us." I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be cute or something. It's just literally what I heard when I sat down with this story. The light of the Hanukkah lamp, the light of our chalice. Here in this sanctuary, we praise the light of truth, the warmth of community, the fire of commitment. And we see these gifts in the chalice flame. But what the oil wants us to know is those are the gifts we bring. The flame is just a mirror. I find this message especially meaningful when I reflect that the miracle story of the oil that burned for 8 days evolved much later than the actual events of the Maccabee Rebellion. Second Maccabees, the text we heard in the first reading, it mentions the oil and the lamp, but there's no special miracle. The lamp just burns for a day and that's it. What the Maccabees were celebrating was an actual real-life military victory that gave them back their sacred city and their temple. That was plenty. The miracle of the 8 days comes much later, some 500 years later, during the time of the rabbis who wrote the Talmud. The Jewish people in those days were living under very different circumstances. Once again, they were under the political and cultural control of a foreign government, this time the Roman Empire. They did not have a whole lot of room to maneuver. They did not feel safe celebrating a Hanukkah holiday, which was all about a successful Jewish political rebellion. But they told the story of the lamp that burned miraculously for much longer than should have been possible. What a story for a people who had lasted and lasted and needed to keep lasting through difficult times. It doesn't matter if the oil literally lasted 8 days or not. The power is in the story. Light the candles, tell the story, and keep hope alive. And you, what will you see in the flame? Warmth, love, light, truth. The flame is a mirror for your own heart. The gifts are there inside you. Use them. Burn bright. May it be so. Amen.